This week I was reading a book by New York Times columnist David Brooks called The Road to Character. And in this book, Brooks recalls driving in his car one day, scanning the local radio stations, when he came upon a rebroadcast of an old radio program called Command Performance. Command Performance was a variety show that went out to the troops during World War II. And this particular episode was originally broadcast the day after VJ Day, August 15th, 1945. The show featured some of the era's biggest celebrities, Frank Sinatra, Marlene Dietrich, Cary Grant, Betty Davis, to name just a few. And according to Brooks, the most striking feature of the show was the absolute humble reverence on display in these celebrities. Accustomed to the arrogance and ego of many of modern day celebrities, he was taken aback by the humility and gratitude on display. The Allies had just completed one of the noblest military victories in human history, and yet there was no chest beating, boasting, or taunting. The host, Bing Crosby, opened by saying, "Well, what can you say at a time like this? I guess all anybody can do is just thank God that it's over." Bing Crosby gave way to soprano Rhys Stevens, who came on and sang a solemn version of Ave Maria. The lyrics translated, "Crying out, Ave Maria, full of thanksgiving, be blessed among women, and blessed be the product of your womb, Jesus." Crosby came back on and summarized the dreamlike mood of gratitude, saying, "Today our deep down feeling is an overwhelming sense of humility." Brooks arrived home before the program was over, but sat in his driveway listening until the program completed. Deeply touched by the humble gratitude he heard, he went inside and turned on a football game. Now, on the very first play, a quarterback threw a short pass to a wide receiver who was tackled immediately for a 2-yard gain. The defensive player leapt to his feet and began strutting upfield like a peacock in a self-puffing victory dance, while his teammates slapped his helmet in a wild celebration. In that moment, it occurred to Brooks that he had just experienced more self-celebration after a 2-yard gain than he heard after the United States won World War II. But the truth of the matter is, something happens deep inside our human soul when our lives are invaded by God's overwhelming power to restore. When God's power invades our life and turns our mourning into dancing, our tears of weeping into shouts of joy and laughter. The writer of today's psalm, Psalm 126, vividly describes the unmitigated joy and zeal of the Israelites, who decades before experienced the surprise invasion of the fierce Babylonian army, who overcame their defenses quickly before marching those who survived some 1,600 miles through desert and mountain from Israel to what is now modern-day Iraq, Babylon. This ancient trail of tears was a 4-month journey to a foreign land where they were stripped of their Hebrew names and culture, and forced to serve foreign pagan gods. Imagine the desperation, the disillusionment, and loss of hope. Imagine losing everything. Well, for some today, it takes no imagination at all. At this very moment, modern-day refugees flee oppressive regimes and the violence of war, hoping to give their children a chance at life. At this very moment, survivors of domestic abuse make their desperate escape from their passed out accusers, carrying their sleepy children into a shelter with only the clothes on their backs. Perhaps you have a story of your own, a friend or family member caught in the claws of abuse or addiction, a loved one diagnosed with cancer. Maybe you were suddenly laid off from a job without any prospect and the bills piling up on your desk. I've always been grateful that Scripture does not sugarcoat the suffering of its people, does not sugarcoat the cycles of suffering that we all experience as humans on this planet. From Joseph to Job to Jesus, from Hagar to Hannah to Ruth, the stories of intense suffering and the desperate cries of God's people, crying out for God's restorative power, fill the texts of our Scripture. And as the psalmist implies today, sometimes our suffering is so intense that we struggle to form words to offer prayer to the only one possessing the power to restore our fortunes. And according to the psalmist, words are not really necessary. The tears of those who suffer provide liquid prayer. The waters of our prayers water the seeds of sorrow planted in God's fertile heart of compassion for his children. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves with them. The psalmist wants us to know that a harvest awaits those whose hearts are broken before God, for those whose words and tears cry out, "Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negev." And in case you're not familiar with the Negev, it is an arid desert region in Israel with parts that receive just 4 inches of rain annually. Have you ever felt that kind of drought in your own life? Season of dryness and desperation that seems to suck the very life out of your bones? The psalmist has. He remembers vividly the suffering, and yet he offers hope and prayer. That just as God's undeserved grace, reversed the fortunes of the Israelites, turning their weeping to joy and laughter, it is possible also for we fellow sufferers around the world to experience God's restorative power. And as you've been able to tell from the length of our prayer list, the past few weeks have presented many opportunities to pray for God's restorative power. As we pray for friends with COVID and cancer, friends battling addiction, mental illness, emotional struggles of all kinds. This psalm reveals God's desire that we hang in there in times of drought. We stay connected with our restorer that cultivates hope. And with humble expectancy, we foster a relationship with God that builds our faith that one day soon, we will be like those who dream. Those who have seen God's restorative power do the seemingly impossible, and are so filled with joy that everyone around them takes note. I believe the dream of God is restoration. Restoration from the wounds we suffer in this broken world. The Spirit of the Lord lives to see good news delivered to the poor, lives to see freedom proclaimed to the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and the oppressed set free. This is the dream of Father, Son, and Spirit. And as we join God in hope and partner with God in prayer and acts of compassion, we become more and more like those who dream. While sitting in the second row today, are our good friends Gary and Joquita Galloway, all the way from Pennsylvania. And when I think of those who dream, I think of these two, people who share God's heart for restoration. For many decades, their life work has been partnering with God to restore marriages, restore relationships with God and with people, and to do so with humble dependence and gratitude toward the only one with the power to restore. Sonia and I experienced firsthand the Spirit's ministry of restoration working through Gary and Jaquita during a painful season of transition a few years ago that left us cracked and dried in the blazing heat of disillusionment, disappointment, and despair. It was a rough season, and we knew who to call. Gary and Jaquita ministered to us with humble compassion and kindness. In their presence, we were heard and received with grace and mercy. And this is a marker of those who dream. Despite what you may have heard or experienced in the past, Jesus came to show us that the true nature of the Father is a hope for restoration, not punishment. In Christ, we discover a God not armed with lightning bolts for smiting, but a basin and towel for washing feet. In Christ, we see a God not spewing threats of judgment and shame to outsiders, but announcing good news for all who are weary and heavy laden, rejected and alone. In Christ, we see a God riding in not on a fierce war horse, but a humble donkey, one who weeps with compassion for those in need of restoration and weeps in compassion for those whose wounds and self-loathing have made them oppressors of others. Those who share God's dream learn that it is the kindness of God that leads to repentance and restoration. And it is this God and this dream of restoration that draws the attention of those around us, that I'm praying draws the attention of those who come visit with us Saturday night. Those who witness the kindness, compassion, hope, and restoration delivered by the Spirit of God can't help but take note that the Lord has done great things for us, which offers us the opportunity to say this wonder-working power is for you too. God is no respecter of persons. God shows no partiality. You too are a child of God, made in the image of God. And as a child of God, you are loved by God just as much as anyone else. And in fact, the book of John says, God loves you as much as God loves his own son. There's a lot of people who don't know that. But this is the good news of the gospel. Whatever you're suffering with today, whatever loss and grief you're enduring, God's power to restore means there is always hope. And on days when there are no words, but only tears, your liquid prayers are nourishing the seeds of hope that will one day produce a harvest of joy, whether it's on this earth or the coming life. This is the power of the resurrected Christ living in us.